Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. Today, Dave and I are talking about true authority and how different our lives look when we do or don't respond to it.
Well, Bernadette, I really enjoy doing these with you because, you know, you bring one perspective to this, I bring another, but we've been together long enough that we kind of get each other's perspectives,
right.
And I appreciate your insights and just kind of doing this with me. It's it's been a fun process.
You are lucky.
I am a lucky man, no doubt about it. Well, last time we talked a little bit about the so-called Lord's Prayer and the kingdom connection, and this is after a couple of large sections, or in the midst of large sections of Jesus' teaching about the kingdom, what is called the Sermon on the Mount, the so-called Sermon on the Mount. And last time we talked a little bit about praying and all the word pictures that were there. And so now we're going to move into the Jesus' explanation and his connecting. He's trying to connect the disciples with what it means to understand his kingship and what it means to understand his authority, which is incredibly important if you're going to make progress as a disciple. Because, you know, we want to be followers of Christ, but there are reasons for that. We want to stand before our master someday and hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
We want to have built our houses not on the sand. And that's what we're going to read about today out of Matthew 7. "These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. And if you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house because it was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach, and when a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards." And when Jesus concluded his address, the crowd burst into applause. I love that. That's not exactly how the NIV says it, but they had never heard teaching like this. It was apparent that he was living everything he was saying, quite a contrast to their religion teachers. This was the best teaching they'd ever heard.
And it makes you realize what was going on east of the Jordan, why people were coming and being baptized, because, you know, by John the Baptist, because their religious leaders had let them down on the core of what it meant to connect with God. John the Baptist was calling them not only just to turn away from their sin, but, you know, implicit in the idea of turning away is you turn away, but you turn toward at the same time. And so he was preaching repentance, but the idea was now turn toward the one who is coming, the light, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But that's another passage that I'm excited to talk about later. It's interesting. I get a kick out of when you read out of the Message, because, you know, what were the carpenters called? They were bad carpenters or junky carpenters or...
Smart carpenter and stupid carpenter.
Yeah, stupid carpenters. I thought, you know, that's kind of...
That was pretty blunt.
You can tell a stupid carpenter when you look at the shed that they've built because they don't know what's going on. They're just kind of ignorant. And the ones who... And I've built a lot of those, so I know that. But it amplifies some of the things in here. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them..." And that's kind of the essence of what your translation was trying to get across. "You hear the words, you act on them... Then you can be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock." Now, if you're a foolish man, you're not going to act upon him, or you're not even going to receive him and hear him. So he's basically inviting people to not only hear the word, but also to act upon it. "And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house." So it was a pretty big storm.
Yeah.
Sounds like maybe like a hurricane. Darn. Global warming. "And yet it did not fall, for it had been built and established on the rock."
Yes, I like the idea of just don't use just my words in Bible studies. Work them into your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you compare that from a rock perspective, if your life is anchored in the rock, then when the storm comes, you're not going to be blown around, tossed here and there, I think, by every wind of doctrine. I think that's what it says over in Ephesians. "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Mm-hmm. And even that phrase right there, I mean, what is more important than your house standing or falling, your heart standing or falling? Mm-hmm. Is there anything more important than that? Is your physical house? Is your 401k? What is more important? I mean, with where we're at in life, we have a tendency to put, you know, God being at the top, and then our families after that, and then come our brothers and sisters and our friends, and you know, we've got things that we value, but they're they kind of transcend the sand, because you have to have roots, and roots come through practicing the Word of God in your relationships, mm-hmm. or in our relationships. So how could Jesus be any more clear?
He is very clear.
Yes. There are two options in life as we attempt to make our journeys rich and full. And, you know, that really is what God wants. He's not asking us to live a puny existence. He's asking us to live one that is rich and full, just rich and full upon His standards. And we can build on sand, or we can build upon rock. Every life has its share of wind, rains, and floods, mm-hmm. you know, suffering, yeah. death, personal disappointments.
We know this ourselves. I know it. You know, we've been through hard times. Our world has been rocked, but God has reminded us of the truth. We had a choice to believe and turn back to Him, or keep going down the road we were on. And, you know, I'm not talking about just outwardly, because for a long time, you can do the outward thing and look right. I'm talking about the inward. But on the other hand, when awful things are swirling and I choose to believe, you know, it doesn't stop the tornado.
Yes.
The guy with the house on the rock, the tornado didn't not happen.
It's still going.
Uh-huh. But I feel safe when I'm built on the rock, even though the activity is around me, but it's not in me. And that's a huge difference.
Well, even reading about this is reminding me of a number of experiences in our life together. One of them was when our third child was born, and he had problems. His mm-hmm. heart wasn't working, and they were very concerned, and he had to have mm-hmm. open heart surgeries. And like this whole idea, suffering, death, personal disappointment, and emptiness, that's part of the storm. And you can't keep that from happening. But I can remember us having conversations and talking about, okay, well, now we're going to take what we have come to believe, and this is our chance to apply it and place our son in the hands of God.
Yeah, I think we recognized it was I don't know if it was a test, probably, but it was a chance for us to walk out what we said we believed. And that was not easy. It was one thing to say it, but now to go, okay, it's really up to God. Meaning, what part of what it meant for us was that, you know, if something went wrong in the surgery, we weren't going to look to blame someone.
Right.
He was completely in God's hands, and He would come through it, or He wouldn't. God could make that happen. And that was a test for us. Did we believe what we said we believed, or what we thought we believed?
Yeah, and I'm even thinking about the picture of a house right now, and we're talking about what was going on inside of our house, and you know, you build walls, mm-hmm. and you build a roof, and you build all the things that protect you. And it's not like our exterior lives aren't important. You
right.
know, how we live our lives are important, but you know, they're just a reflection of what is going on inside of us when the storms come.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so important to build wisely, not only picking the right place, but pick the right materials. And don't pretend like the storm is not there, or that it's not coming, because it's just part of the nature of life.
Yeah, it made me think about how much the interior really matters in these laws that, you know, we've talked about earlier. And this just came to me as we were talking, that when Jesus talks about murder, that we're not supposed to murder, that's one of the commandments. But He really goes further than that. That's an outward thing, but there's an inward motive in
yes.
there. And in 1 John 3:15, it says, anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know very well that eternal life and murder don't go together. So, you know, it's one thing to say in the law that, you know, do not murder. You know, I get that, but He carries it a lot further to what's going on the interior. He exposes that in 1 John.
Well, and much deeper and more significant is the place within my interior life, my heart, where my true intentions lie. And this is where God wants to live. That's the place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not all about exterior, it's about interior. He wants to make His home at the root of who we are, and he seeks to direct us in what it means to be a true success, to be free, and to build a life that will endure even the final challenge, mm-hmm. because there are storms all the way through life,
and
right to
honestly,
the end.
That has kind of amazed me. I was just talking to someone the other day about you go through the phases when your kids are toddlers or when they're babies. You think, oh, it'll be a little easier when they're in school. And then they get in school and you realize there are all these phases. And at some point you think, yes, but it will be easier when.
Right.
And that is not, I can just tell you, now that I'm a little bit older, it apparently doesn't end. As I talk to people older than me, they're still, God doesn't, he just wants us to finish strong. He doesn't just let us float.
Well, he wants us to live strong too. And mm-hmm. I'm thinking right now about a young woman that we heard sharing the other night about, you know, her child has special needs and was just born, and just how she was wrestling through this. But it was cool as she was telling her story that she was reaching right down to the rock, mm-hmm. and she knew that that rock was there. And even though it's very emotional and very challenging for their family, she recognizes that that foundation is there.
Yeah, and what a great place to be.
Yeah. Wow. So, you know, the passage ends in an interesting way. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were blown away. What did your version say?
Oh, it says in our language, we probably would have spontaneously applauded. They burst into applause. They were loving that he lived what he said.
Yeah, I think in one translation, maybe the King James, it says marveled. And in my mm-hmm. translation, in the New American Standard, it says amazed. But the crowds were blown away. That's my translation. At his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority, but not as their scribes. Now, the scribes were the people that made copies of the scriptures because they didn't have copy machines. Mm-hmm. So there were people that did it. So they were a class of people within Israel that had huge responsibility and probably were thought of, especially by themselves, as somebody who know more about the law of God than anybody. Mm-hmm. And so here they are being explained, or here Jesus is explaining that you know, his authority was totally different, but and the people recognized it.
Yeah.
I mean, how cool is that?
Can I go back to one thing you said? You said, by default. So we build our house upon a rock, or actively, or by default, build it upon the sand. You say that in one of your paragraphs. And I was thinking how easy it was. There was a period of time in our life. There was so much coming toward us. We had three kids in three schools. We had a lot of sickness that year. Just keeping up with their schedules, you know, a new school. I didn't want the middle one to feel, you know, crushed. I didn't want the littlest one to feel like, he's the last one at that school. I don't have to pay any attention to it. I just remember feeling like there was a lot going on. And we really did fall into default at that time. And I can remember you coming home and saying, we have to grab hold of this again and, you know, get back on top of it instead of just letting this rule us. And doing that's important.
Well, search the writings of all human history and religious antiquity, and is there anyone, who has exhibited this kind of authority, this kind of sheer power, and this level of understanding. And, you know, make the search for your own welfare. Don't take mm-hmm. it from secondhand information. And build your house, your heart, upon the true rock. Jesus is a teacher like no other, because he's more than one who teaches. He's the king of every living mm-hmm. soul. Hey, fourthstream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to fourthstream.com and click on the radio button.
Together, we're finding hope at fourthstream.com.
Hey, thanks, Bernadette.
You're welcome.